Hello, welcome to the Praying Christian Women podcast. I am Alana here with Jamie. You are joining us for a very special game show edition. So we need your game show voice, Jamie. What have you got for us?
Come on down. You're the next contestant on Praying Christian Women.
I love it. I love it. Well, before we explain how this is going to work to our listeners, what game show do you think you would have done great at if you actually ever were a contestant on it?
I was just watching Wheel of Fortune. I just saw it. It was at the place where our kids, there's a restaurant up above, like a restaurant and bar above where the kids practice, and they have TVs on all the time and game and stuff. And they have Jeopardy on sometimes, which I would not be super good at. I'm not that, like, I don't have that much general knowledge, but Wheel of Fortune was on, and it was so funny because our daughter's, like, her whole team was sitting there right after practice, and they were watching Wheel of Fortune, like trying to answer it. And I found myself getting sucked in. So I think I would be okay at it. I actually got them pretty quickly, and it's fun. And my stepmom actually tried out for Wheel of Fortune. She sent in a video, and they called her back. And the last time we were there visiting, she actually had a Zoom call for a follow-up. So they like,
Interesting.
yeah. So she's always wanted to go on Wheel of Fortune. So yeah,
That's pretty cool.
he hasn't gotten the second call back, but they said it could be a year, it could be a month, it could be 2 years. Like, they're just gonna have her on file in their, like, maybe file. Yeah. What about you?
Interesting. I don't know. I mean, I like out of everything to watch, I probably enjoy watching Jeopardy, but I don't watch any of them. You know, we've never had cable TV or anything.
Me too.
My
I don't like sit
sons,
and watch game shows.
yeah. I think Jeopardy is fun though. The first time my kids saw Wheel of Fortune, my middle son had a really funny reaction. This was maybe like 5 years ago. And we were at my grandma's house and Wheel of Fortune was on. And so he's watching it. And a few minutes in, he says, "So it's like Hangman for money?" I'm like,
Yeah,
"Yes,
that's
that's exactly
exactly
what
what it
it
is. That is too
is."
funny.
Yeah. So I wish I had a more interesting answer because I'm sure there are like funner things out there. I just don't really know what they are. Okay, how about this? What would be the Jeopardy category that you could dominate in if you were a contestant on Jeopardy?
Wow, that's a good question. I am not good at retaining dates like history. Maybe biological stuff, like maybe like body, like maybe physiology, anatomy and physiology. I might, or DNA and molecular biology, since I've
That'd
worked
be
in those
nice,
fields,
yeah.
maybe. But I would say dates and random dates and history, I'm not good at. I love history and I love learning about things, but I don't retain like all the details very well. So I'm trying to think if there were any, maybe 80s, like I would do great at Name That Tune. I think I would do really well at that game show. So maybe if there was like an 80s or 90s like music category, I might do okay. But then again, like, I don't know all of
Is it
the
the kind of music that you would have been
singers.
listening to, or
Right. And I don't always know the name of the technical name of the song. Like, I could hear it and kind of
Right.
name
You're
the
like, it's the
lyrics.
one that goes like this.
Yeah, I don't
Well,
know.
I
What about you?
remember. Well, I was watching Jeopardy once, and the category was Russian literature. And so I was like, this is
Ooh.
me. But I was kind of like you. Like, I've read all the books, but I don't remember the names of the characters. Do you know what I mean? Like, for a lot of them. So maybe like if there was something on, you know, biblical figures or something, I know more than the common layperson. I
Oh,
couldn't
that's
go
true.
against, you know, I
Yeah,
couldn't
I
go
didn't think about
against
that. Yeah.
Bible professors, but I do fine with that if they were, you know, more general knowledge type things. Not dealing with the Bible, there's not really a ton because I do retain stories, but I don't retain the names, you know? So, like, if there was a true crime, I would be like, yeah, I've listened to three podcasts about that guy. I don't know what his name was, you know?
Right.
So,
Well, and
let's
especially
see.
Russian literature. What was it? Raskolnikov and
I know
Russ. And
Raskolnikov.
who was the other one that had a very similar name in the same
Don't.
book?
In the same book.
I thought there was another. And so for us, with English being our focus, a lot of the like Russian names might sound similar and get easy to mix
or
up.
Or you see them if you're reading them and not listening to the audiobook, and you just kind of like, you recognize it by sight, but you're not saying it in your head.
Right.
So yeah, I probably wouldn't do very good on Jeopardy, which is a bummer, because that's probably the one I would want to be able to do.
It's fun to watch. And I feel like watching Jeopardy makes me smarter. Like I learn things watching Jeopardy that I'm like,
cool.
Retain that random fact. And then I don't.
All right. Well, let's explain to people why we are talking about game shows and what we're doing here. So Jamie and I have had a couple episodes where we have been chatting about manifesting. Does it work? And one of the things that's come up is, how do you know if this is just a coincidence when you get an answer to prayer? How do you know if it's something that God was already planning on doing anyway, and you just happened to pray for it? How do you know if it's one of those just kind of common sense prayers where the more you pray, the more likely it is to happen, not necessarily from a divine sense, but for example, like if I keep praying, dear God, help me to see Jamie soon, help me see Jamie soon, like I'm more likely to make an effort to find a way to go see Jamie soon. So our game show is tentatively called God, Coincidence, or Law of Attraction. This is meant to just be fun, but I think it can be useful in terms of starting to think about some of these answers to prayers, or when you hear someone secular talking about the law of attraction or manifesting, and maybe you get a little confused by it, like, wait, how does this work? So we're really, this is half for fun. This is half for us to share examples and testimonies of answered prayers in our lives. So the way it's going to work is Jamie and I are going to take turns sharing stories of answered prayers or things that we have seen manifested in our lives. By that, my definition of that is things where I would say, wow, it would be cool if, and then at some point down the road, that thing happened. And then we're going to kind of dissect it. So we're going to decide if the reason that thing came about falls under one of these categories. So right now, our possible responses, which might change as we go, one is God answered your prayer. Another option is God placed a prompt in your heart. So almost like God wanted me to go see Jamie, and so he started prompting me to pray to go see Jamie. Coincidence, like sometimes it's just straight up coincidence. Another option would be a common sense or logical consequences. So for example, this kind of falls under the next one, which I call the yellow car phenomenon, which we talked on the last episode we did together. The joke is that if you buy a yellow car for the next month, you're going to see 20 times more yellow cars than you've ever seen before. And it's not because everybody went out and bought a yellow car when you did. It's just that because it's on your mind, you're noticing it. So, and then we also have just some common sense, like I shared a story on our first episode about manifesting about how there was a woman that I had just said this super quick prayer of, oh, it'd be nice to reconnect with her because we haven't been able to talk in like a really long time. And just like 2 days later, sitting at a basketball game, she walks in and comes and sits right next to us. Like that could be an example of like a logical consequence because she was on my mind when she walked in. I'm sure I smiled at her, which I, you know, probably compelled her to be like, oh, look, I know that family. Let me go sit by them. Intuition's one of them. I think this is where I would place your story, Jamie, about having that dream about needing to do a breast exam, right? Like just some kind of intuitive something or other. Law of attraction is the more woo-woo side of that, but we're going to keep it on there as one of our options. The more scientific corollary, I guess we could call it, would be the power of suggestion. So for example, if I say like, I don't know, I'm trying to think of some silly example. I'd be like, Jamie, I'm praying for you today that you will have the best coffee that you've ever had in your life. And you remember that. And then you're driving and you see a new coffee shop and you're like, maybe I'll go taste, you know, check this out. Or maybe even because I said it, like maybe it tastes better to you, right? So power of suggestion, or is it something else? So the way we're going to start it out, and the game rules might morph because we have never played this before, but I think the way it'll start out is you or I will share a story And then the other person will pick what they would place the top one, two, or three reasons for your answered prayer. How does that sound?
That sounds good. I'm starting to write down things because I'm trying. Yeah, because I didn't have a whole bunch coming into it. So a couple of things have come to mind. So I'm making notes.
Okay. Do you want to start or do you want me to start?
You start.
Okay. Let me go to my list if my mouse will cooperate. Okay. I'm going to start with a very easy one and a kind of smallish one. This was probably like early October. And for people who don't live in very, very cold climates, we like getting early snow in the winter for lots of reasons. The more snow you get early on in the winter, the more insulated the ground gets. It insulates your home, so it keeps your home warmer. It keeps your pipes from freezing more commonly. It keeps the spring floods from being the worst because the ground doesn't freeze as deep because the snow is covering it. It's good for gardens. There are a bajillion reasons why having early snow before it gets very, very cold is good for Alaskans and people in these cold, cold climates. It also keeps the mosquitoes down because then when everything melts, it'll melt off faster if the ground hasn't frozen as deep. So we get less standing water, so we get fewer mosquitoes. So for all the reasons, we like having early snow before the temperatures drop. And I forget exactly when in the month it was, but we hadn't had snow yet. And I was dropping somebody off at the school. And I thought to myself, it'd be so nice if we got some snow soon. And then like within 12 hours, we got our first real cover that blanketed everything. So of all of our options, what would be the top one, two, or three that you would place that on?
Well, I would say I wouldn't do God answering prayer necessarily because I don't feel like it was a desire of your heart that you were like laying bare to God, like, you know,
you didn't pour out my soul to God like Hannah did for a baby.
I mean, then again, not all prayers have to be like that, but I don't think I would do that. I don't know. Let's see. I would say coincidence could be.
Yeah, because like there's something to be said for it's the second week in October and we haven't had snow yet. Like it's not a stretch. So for example, I don't know if I've ever told you this story. When my oldest was maybe around 5, I was reading them a Bible storybook about how God kept the sun from setting for a full day.
Right. Yeah.
And he looks at me and I said, like, isn't that really cool? God kept the sun from setting. And he looks at me and he's like, well, was it summer? You know, because up here, the sun doesn't really set in the summer. And he knew that. He's like, Mom, that's not really a miracle. That's how summer works. So
that is so funny.
I think there could be something to be said for it's the second week of October. The chance of getting snow that week, not too low.
Or an intuition also, because sometimes you'll look and it just feels like snow. You know, it just feels, mm-hmm. You've got kind of that feeling, the stormy kind of snow cloud sky. And maybe that prompted you to think, oh, it might be nice. But, but, you know, I mean, it could have been you doing that law of attraction and
I'm Elsa from
that is another Frozen. Category that you just added.
Magic.
You are a character from Frozen.
All right. Yeah. If I had to guess, I think it was just the intuition. I think I was probably like, yep, feels like snow.
Yeah. It's about
to be
time.
Nice to get some snow. But I also feel like because of the way like my brain just kind of works, it did feel like, hey, I hoped for snow. Snow came. Thank you, God. So again, it's not me being like, you're welcome, all of Alaska. I brought the snow to you at all.
Right.
Which is what, like, you know, the worst case of law of attraction could be. But instead of just saying, well, yeah, God was going to make it snow anyway, there's part of me that's like, hey, that was kind of a gift because I got to hope for snow and then snow came. So I'm going to lift that up as a thank you to God.
That's really neat. Well, what that reminds me of a little bit, and it's not exactly, but is the idea of like a rain dance that was done by some Native people. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's, I mean, I'm guessing that's more of a spiritual kind of thing, but I just wonder if the intention was to manifest. I mean, it is, the intention is to manifest rain. And so by putting their attention, but I don't know, it could also be like a belief that there's a spirit that responds to their movements or something. But anyway, but no, you did not do a snow dance.
I did not. Well, I did that once it started snowing, but that's for another podcast. All right. What have you got?
Well, one thing I was thinking of was when I first met you, it was very coincidental, or was it, that that not only did we become best friends, but the, like, before we moved here, I had an idea for a book, and I had started, I had for years and years, I mean, I can remember many, many years, I wanted to be an author. I wanted to write a book. And I didn't know what I was going to write about. And I got this idea for this science fiction novel when I was in Arizona, just like maybe a year or so before we moved here. And so when we got here, I was both wanting friendship and I was also wanting clarity for writing. And those were things that I probably prayed about, both of those things. So, but I just remember meeting you and there was just this sense, like, I remember I was like, are you a homeschool mom? Because I just kind of knew. I was not.
flashcards.
I was not, but it was you got your kids there and they're like, everything is learning. And I loved that. That was another thing I always wanted to do was I was like, I want to do homeschooling sometime because it just seems so cool. And anyway. But yeah, so you said, yeah, actually I am. Are you? And I'm like, no, but I'd like to hang out with you. So like we ended up hanging out outside of our kids, our oldest kids, taekwondo practice or whatever, taekwondo lessons.
Yeah.
And we ended up weekly hanging out together. But I just think of like the things that came from that could have been considered a very chance meeting. And yet that led to clarity in writing, which had nothing to do at that at that time with science fiction, but kind of working on a new project, and friendship and ministry and, you know, this podcast. I mean, it's like so many things came out of that. And I just, I don't know, like those were things that I did pray about, but I also was on the lookout for those signals and signs. So in some ways I was open to that. So I think some people would call that manifesting. If you're open to receiving those friendships, if you're open to, you know, hey, wouldn't it be nice if I met someone? Cause I just remember the feeling walking into that church and I was excited because we had not found a church. We had been church shopping or hopping. And I just remember the feeling walking into that church every time, just feeling this tremendous void of fellowship, of friendship, of all kinds of stuff. So anyway, just very cool that that happened. So I don't know, what do you think that of all of those things,
all of the things on our list, I am convinced that I am a miraculous answer to prayer. And you're welcome.
So we have to type in miraculous, not answering prayer.
No.
You are a miracle.
I know, right?
No, I agree.
No, it's God answering prayer, but I think there is a ton to, I think this one has a tiny bit of almost all of them. Yeah. So some of it, yes, you were looking for friendship. And so you were praying for friendship. And so God answered friendship. We also have God placing a prompt in your heart. And I love how prayer works like this. It's like, which comes first? Do I pray for it and then God gives it to me? Or does God know he wants to give me something, so he prompts me to pray for it? In this case, I think it's both, right? So I'm sure God was prompting you to be praying for that fellowship. Anybody looking in could call it a coincidence, right? Like we just happened, and a logical coincidence. We were moms of kids of a similar age, and therefore our kids were in the same class. Do you know what I mean? It was, and it was like we were Christian moms because we were going to a Christian Taekwondo class. You know, so like there's certain things
there's some coincidence like that.
Let's see. I think that there could be some of the. Like, I like how you describe being open to something. I think that that's a nice way to explain a moderate logical view of the law of attraction. Since you were looking for a friend, you were open when the opportunity presented itself. If you were totally like, if your friendship glass was full, I don't think you would have been a jerk to me, but it might not have been much more than just, hi, you know? And so I think, like I said, I think that's a nice way to talk about how the law of attraction, a moderate view of it, does kind of make logical sense. I think that's very similar to what happened seeing that woman at the basketball game. I think I was open to wanting to communicate with her, and she sensed in my body language, oh, look, there they are. So I think that prayer does also play a role in you being open for something, right? So if you are praying for financial provision and you're not praying, focusing on the lack, like what we talked about in the last episode, but you truly are like praying and hoping and expectant, and you're grateful mm-hmm. for all the things that come, I do think that makes you open to extra blessings. And I think a lot of it is just natural consequences. And I think there is a little bit of it that I would call, you know, on the more spiritual side of, you know, you're looking for blessings, which makes blessings more likely to come your way. But a big chunk of it is, I also think that because you're looking for blessings, you experience things that you would have gotten regardless as blessings.
Right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's what I would call that. And then, you know, with your book and things like that, I think that I picture friendships as like you're taking simultaneous steps in a direction. I mean, almost similar to dating, right? Like, so you and I were like, okay, we're going to be here every Monday night or whatever night it was. And our middle kids who weren't in the class were similar ages, so it was convenient for them to play together. So that was like step one. It was like, okay, here is somebody who is easy to talk to and our kids enjoy spending time together. So it made sense for us to spend time together. And then like, as we keep progressing at that point, like, I don't know about you, I don't keep many people in my life. It's like, I don't have long-term acquaintances. Does that right. make sense? Mm-hmm. Because either you get closer as time goes on because you see, oh, she writes books, I want to know more about the books she writes. You know, oh, she does Good News Club, I want to know more about this ministry she's involved in. Or it's like, yeah, I'm not involved in those things, so we don't have as much to talk about. So it's not like I shut you out of my life, but it just, the chances for overlap aren't as strong.
Yeah. So, no, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you're welcome for being a miraculous answer to prayer, by the way.
You're welcome.
All righty. Okay. I've got a bigger one. So you and I met when our family was living in Anchorage. We lived mm-hmm. there for like a decent chunk. I think it was like 6 years we were in Anchorage. But before that, we had been living in this itty bitty bitty rural Alaskan community, and my husband was in Bible college there. I would walk him around in the stroller because he was really fussy all day. And in the stroller was like one time that he was kind of calm. So we walked a lot. And I remember walking him around in the stroller. And at that point, we just had the one kid. At that point, my husband and I were still planning on becoming missionaries to Russia, but I would walk around this little community and love the community and say, I would love to raise my kids here. And to me, it was part, dear God, please change plans so that we can raise our kids here. But it was also part, oh, it's too bad that this is never going to happen, because it sounds like a really like relaxing and peaceful way to live. Okay, so fast forward, we had medical issues that brought us to Anchorage. We stayed there for a super long time. Do you and the kids, did you do Goose Lake much in Anchorage, that playground there?
And mm-hmm.
I remember it was always especially there because we had one car. And so sometimes, and it used to be by where my husband worked. So sometimes we'd go a little early, hang out at this pretty, pretty park. And I would be looking all around. And it's one of the places, I mean, I mean, no offense to Jamie, Anchorage isn't very pretty. It just isn't.
Oh, I mean, it's picturesque right out. You can go not far for a lot
exactly.
of beauty, but
yeah.
like right in the middle of the city there, you know, there are yeah. little alcoves, but no, mm-hmm. no offense taken.
But The view from Goose Lake was like, it made you feel like you were super, super secluded. Mm-hmm. There's a lake there, there's mountain views, there's woods. And I remember thinking to myself, I would love to go back to rural Alaska. I would love to, like, I pictured Victory Bible Camp because we had been there some. Like, I would just love to live out in the woods, very few people, beautiful views. And boom, here we are.
And manifest.
So from our list, what is that?
Well, that's hard. So, I mean, it could be God answering prayer.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like anything can be God answering prayer, just because I think that just is always somewhat part of everything, because
mm-hmm.
we talk a lot about how prayer isn't just sitting there with your hands, you know, folded and your eyes closed, mm-hmm. asking for something.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think about the desire of your heart and being open to that, you know, delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires mm-hmm. of your heart. Like, that verse points to God in directly answering that prayer, because it sounds like it was something that he wanted for you, or that you wanted. You mm-hmm. could say that God placed a prompt in your heart mm-hmm. to draw you back. And so that when that opportunity presented itself, you took it, and right. you were not reluctant because it was a big move or because mm-hmm. you were afraid. But, you know, it could definitely have been that you were kind of, and this is secular verbiage, but you were putting out into the universe that you loved rural Alaska and that you were kind of longing for it and being open mm-hmm. to it. But, you mm-hmm. know, I know the universe isn't necessarily sentient,
yeah.
Realize that God is part of everything and is in control of everything, in which case you're...
Then we're just back to God answered
putting
prayer.
It out to God. So, yeah, that's my long convoluted part of... I think that was God answering the desires of your heart.
Yeah, I think it was also that. God putting the prompt in there, you know.
So that
I think
when it came, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because, you know, if I hadn't had all those dreams of living in rural Alaska, when the opportunity presented it itself, I wouldn't have been like, that sounds amazing. I'd have been like, no.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, I think a big part of it was that. I think that some of it I would even call just logical, natural consequences, in that we discovered a way of life that we loved. We moved to a bigger city and did okay there, but there was something in our hearts that always like kept longing for like that quieter, more removed lifestyle. And I also feel like if we weren't meant to live that way, we wouldn't have enjoyed it the first time. Do you know what I mean? And we wouldn't have kept right. longing for it after we left.
Right.
So in a way, it's almost like, you know, maybe even one that we should add to the list. It's almost similar to like what we would call a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we knew that we loved living there. It was in our hearts that we wanted to live there. So when the opportunity came, and again, that goes back to what we talked about with yours, like, we were open to that because it had been on our minds so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. But in the end, I mean, I do see it as just such an answered prayer, because I remember our first couple years moving back out here, I'd be looking at the views and I would just be remembering myself at Goose Lake. Mm-hmm. Like, I dreamed about this and I wasn't even ready to pray for God to make it happen yet. It was more of just lifting up a longing to God. You know, it wasn't mm-hmm. even, dear God, help us. Because there were a lot of reasons why in my mind leaving Anchorage wouldn't have made sense. Like, it didn't sound practical. Mm-hmm. The health reasons were a big, big part of that. And it didn't seem it would ever work, but there was always that longing. And so for me, it wasn't even a dear God, amen prayer. It was just lifting up a longing to God. And then boom, here we are.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I love that. Let's see. I have one that's a anti-manifest story that I thought,
love that. I think that's perfect.
So I've shared this story before in various settings, I think, but when we first moved here, like I said, I had a lot of voids. I was working, anyway, it's a long story, but I was working okay. a couple of different part-time jobs. I was very involved in church social life group, all that, you know, and I was the children's ministry lead for them. I was doing some work from my dad virtually, The kids were busy. Like, it was probably the busiest I've ever been in my whole life up to this point. And I went from that to like every day of the week, every minute of the day, like cramming as much stuff as I could in to absolute vacuum. We didn't have a church. We didn't have responsibilities. We didn't even know our neighbors. Nothing. Yeah. The only thing I had to do was get one child to school and back the first few weeks of being here. I didn't even have like furniture and stuff in the house to keep up with. I had like one load of laundry to do every couple of days because we only had a few things. So it was crazy. It was like, and I heard from God, like I heard it was time to get my house in order. Like I needed to.
This sounds very ominous, actually.
Doesn't it? It sounds bad. I took it in the way I think it was intended, which was for God to let me know that it was time to focus on my kids, my family, my home, just managing our home, being a mom, being a wife, being whatever. But I fought against that. There was something in me that was just like battling against that because it wasn't enough, and it was enough and should have been enough. But after coming off of the treadmill at full speed, the walking along at a slow pace just didn't feel right. And so selfishly, I was looking everywhere for things to do to give myself, to convince myself that I was valuable because I was doing something. And I mean, that's a whole other story. So I ended up, I just remember one morning I dropped, I had a little one, you know, Ben was like not even two and our oldest was in first grade, dropped the first grader off. Had the one in the back seat, you know, strapped into his car seat. It was his nap time around then. And so I got this thing in my head that I was like, I'm going to feed a homeless person today.
I remember the story now.
So I was trying to manifest. I was praying. I was manifesting. I was open to the universe, popping a homeless person down in front of me, or even a hungry housed person. I would be like, honestly. So I'm driving around getting angrier and angrier because there are a couple of places in downtown Anchorage that, you know, it's where people hang out if they're hungry or homeless. And I knew where to go. So I was driving around, nothing. And so I was like, come on, God. And so in my mind, I don't know that I called it manifesting, but I was trying to, I was opening myself up and I was expectant, like, please let there be someone. And there never was. I never found anyone. And I remember going home and I got the, I think I might've gotten, I don't even think I got anything for the kid. I think it was just, so I was stuck with this Egg McMuffin in, and I just remember sitting in my little prayer chair, my little rocking, gliding rocking chair in my kitchen, seething and choking down this Egg McMuffin. Like, so like it was,
that's hilarious.
Ralphie with soap in his mouth, like punishment.
Yeah, right.
And I was like, why God? And so I, if there's anything to like conjuring up something with your will, I feel like I would have manifested a person that was hungry, but I didn't. And it was only years later that I reflected, because I still was kind of angry. I'm like, there must be someone that needs food. I have an Egg McMuffin. Why would you not match us up, God? Like, why would we not be matched up? And, you know, what I got when I analyzed it later on is like, God doesn't need my Egg McMuffin. Like, he's big enough about it. And he needed me to be still because he's okay. I am not in the business of doing his work on my own.
Yeah. And I think that really shows another one of the pitfalls of going to the extreme law of attraction, which does make it about you and what you conjure up. So I love thinking about prayer as the partnership. God gives you the prompts and he answers the prayer. Mm-hmm. Right. And, you know, I also love, we've talked before about when you start praying and God almost like shifts your prayer, you know, so that it is more of a conversation. It's not just so like how we talked about with you and me meeting, if on day one, I was like, guess what, Jamie, we're going to be best friends. Our kids are going to grow up together for a little bit. And we're going to do a good news club together. And then we're going to start a podcast. And when you write this book, I'm going to show you how to publish it. And we're going to, like, that would have been a little overwhelming, you know? Like,
right.
So,
yeah.
And that I picture you doing that together. Like, here's what we're going to do today, God. I'm going to wake up and I'm going to buy this egg McMuffin. I'm going to find the person you want me to give it to. And you're going to be so proud of me. He's like,
yeah, that's pretty much exactly the way it went. I'm going to be happy with myself.
Allowing things to maybe progress more organically. And yeah, I think it's a good reminder that God doesn't need our service. He wants us to be open and ready to serve, but he doesn't need to like create the starting energy for that.
Yeah.
Of the things on our list, can you picture any of those being like coming into play for what happened?
Yeah. I would say like God placing a prompt in your heart. That was not it. It was all
that wasn't
me.
It.
I would say it was, I think it was God. I think it was God answering a prayer by preventing people from being there. I think I was praying and he was saying, no, this isn't what I have for you right now. And because logically, like if I look at logic and coincidence and stuff, I can't remember the last time I went to those places and there was no one. I can't remember that there was no one that would have taken that Egg McMuffin.
Yeah.
So I feel like that was beyond just what might, you know, beyond just not having a person to give this food to. I feel like God prevented me from finding someone on purpose to teach me a lesson and, you know, to help me to understand that he doesn't, you know, that I am valuable just by breathing and that I don't have to work my way into his favor.
I have a story kind of parallel to that. So mine's not an anti-manifesting, but it's a delayed manifesting with different results than I would have expected. So I remember being in my young 20s and I did a lot of singing, like all the way from like some of my earliest memories, you know, I was singing, I was performing. I was in my young 20s and newly married and had all these dreams of like one day being a worship leader. And I'm just going to belt out these beautiful songs to the Lord. And then during my third pregnancy, I got swine flu. And since then, I struggled with very chronic laryngitis. Didn't sing for a really, really, really long time. And it definitely felt like I had lost something. But the way I explained it to myself was, God knew that if I could do like five things really well, I'd be torn in too many directions. So he took one of those away from me, you know, so that I could focus on things like the writing and stuff like that. So I missed it, but I came to peace with it. And I didn't think about it for years. Lo and behold, well, 6 months ago, the music leader from our church left and, you know, living way out here, like there's nobody to replace her. And so it turned into, I guess I could do this. I was not happy with my singing voice. I wasn't comfortable with it, but I was like, I'm willing. So here we go. And so it's funny because I am now living out the picture of what I dreamed when I was, you know, 22 belting in our little itty bitty apartment. But it feels a lot different than what I expected because like now that I've practiced a little more, like I'm better than I was like a year ago. Like I can feel my voice is stronger, but it's definitely not what I remember it being. So yeah, go ahead and interpret that one for us.
I feel like that could be, I think that that falls under the openness to, you know, openness to it for sure. But I think that's another desire of your heart. And I don't know.
Well, to be really snarky, the desire of my heart would be to like be a better singer like I was before.
Okay. So, so it almost feels like,
you know what it feels like? It's okay. So part of it, I similar to your story, I think there is a little bit of God's sense of humor in it.
Right.
He's like, yeah, okay, Alana, you wanted to do this 2 decades ago. And the answer is no, go ahead and do it now. And I'm like, oh, this isn't what I expected. I think it probably, I mean, there's some humility there for sure.
Right.
If I had, if I hadn't gone through that, and if I was as confident in my singing voice as I had been half a lifetime ago, you know, there probably would have been some pride and things like that. So yeah, but that's a funny one, because usually, like with our living out here, it was like, I had this dream. I longed for this thing. It came true. I was so thankful. And this time I was like, yeah, I had this dream. And then it was like, oh, it wasn't what I expected.
So are you enjoying it? Or is it kind of like,
I'm glad I get to do it. Yeah. It started out as, I'm doing it because there's nobody else who
to fill the need.
In that process, because I've had to practice my voice, it has gotten stronger, which I'm thankful for. So yeah, I'm definitely thankful that I get to do it. I don't know if I could quite be at the point where I'm like, this is a dream come true. Maybe in another 6 months after I've had a more chance to get my voice in shape. But yeah, so that one's just a funny one, because it's almost the opposite. It's like, I had a dream. It was very delayed to when it got answered, but it's at such a different time in my life that it's like, oh, okay, well, I hadn't thought about this in years, God, but thanks.
I think.
Yeah. Check in with me again next year. I might feel different about it.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty neat though, that it has gotten you to a point where you're exercising your voice and building up those muscles again. And maybe who knows what will happen.
I am glad for that. And so here's one thing. Here's one where we could try to interpret based on our list. My voice does not get as hoarse now, even if I'm not singing during the day. Like, this is our second episode that you and I were recording today. Mm-hmm. I don't have as much vocal strain. So from our list, what would you call that?
So you're saying that you have more vocal strength now in the last 6 months since you've been practicing, because you've been like using your, you feel like.
But what you would think, what I was worried about is like, I'm going to be singing at church, but it's going to make me lose my voice even more. It's going to be, you know, I'm getting sick less. Because that was always a thing. It turned into, for several years, if I got even a cold, it would turn into laryngitis. So
you feel like you're getting sick less since you've been doing this also.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
So is that just divine intervention or one of these other things?
So the scientific part of me thinks that it could be a physical thing, because you're utilizing your vocal cords more. You've got more circulation. You're clearing stuff out more quickly, and so you're not getting sick as much. You're growing your. But the other side of me thinks you said yes to God and obeyed and helped where it was needed, even though it was not in your own strength. And he's blessing you for that and preserving you and equipping you for the task at hand, so that you'll know that it's him, you know?
Yeah. That's like, I think it's a little bit of both. I think that there for sure is some divine, God stepped in. Because I even told him when I started, I was like, you need to be prepared once a quarter. I'm going to show up. I'm going to have no voice. Somebody's going to have to step in. And that's never happened, or it's never even really come close to happening. And I think, I think there's a decent amount of God just deciding to provide me with good health so that I can do this thing that he's called me to do. I also think that there's some just common sense and logical consequences to it. I'm doing vocal warm-ups, if not quite every day, you know, at least multiple times a week. Those are useful, even if you're not singing. Those are useful to, you know, just strengthen your speaking voice too. I'm more willing to take care of my voice. Before, I would strain. So for example, Christmas Eve is a Sunday this year. This episode might come out after that, but This is before Christmas Eve when we are recording it. Christmas Eve is a Sunday. That means I'm going to be leading music in church Sunday morning. We're having company over for dinner Sunday evening. And then I'm going back to church leading music for the Christmas Eve service. At the point where my voice is right now, that is a strain. Like that's more work than my voice is going to be used to. So on Christmas Eve, when we have company over, I'm too shy to do it, but Scott's going to do it for me. He's going to say, yeah, Alana's going to rest her voice some. So if she's quiet, that's just so that she doesn't overuse her voice. Mm-hmm. Because I've got this official position as a worship leader, I feel like I can do that. Whereas before, I would push through the strain. And so if we had company over the next 2 days, I would feel hoarse from it. So right. I think there's some of that too. It's now that I am identifying as a singer, therefore I am doing things that are better for my voice, which I would fall in under that just kind of logical consequences of it. But I think this goes beyond. I think it truly is God answered prayer. And one more thing, just as an aside, I doubt I've mentioned it on the podcast. So about 6 months ago, same time, I got hearing aids. And then I noticed a big difference. It took me a couple of weeks to get used to them, but I noticed a big, big difference just in a lot of things. And then our dog ate one of them. And so I've had,
oh,
I didn't
know
you
did not tell me
I
that.
Thought I told you that. They should be ready for me like any day. They put them in the mail a couple of days ago. So like by the end of today or definitely by the end of the week, I'll have it back. But I think I talk louder without them because in my mind, I can't hear as well without them. So I'm talking louder.
Right.
So I think, and that one, let's just call coincidence, right? I happened to get hearing aids at the same time I started singing. I do think that not being able to hear as well, like they diagnosed me with moderate hearing loss. Like there's a chart. So I'm moderate. It wasn't extreme, but I think it was enough that getting the hearing aids made me realize, oh, I don't need to strain to speak as loudly as I thought I used to.
Interesting. Mm-hmm.
So that one I would probably just call coincidence, but I'm sure God had his hand in it too.
I have to know, did you recover the hearing aid after it was eaten?
Yeah. Yeah. So the way it worked, I went outside. If they get too far apart from each other, the right mm-hmm. and the left one, the one that's in your ear will beep at you. It'll be like, hey, like something's missing. Mm-hmm. So I had taken one of the dogs out. I heard the beep in my ear. I came in and I saw Buttercup, the puppy, looking real guilty. She hadn't swallowed it. It was still in her mouth, but it was like, it was already in like four pieces. So I had her spit it out and I had to mail it into them to like prove, because thankfully there was a warranty, but I had to prove that it was broken. So like,
oh my
just
gosh,
send it in.
That's good. Well, I was wondering, because I know like they say those batteries can mm-hmm,
be
damaging, but I thought if there was something around it, like plastic, they might just pass right through. So
maybe.
I was thinking you
I don't know
recovered
what would have
it
happened.
Later.
No,
but
no, thankfully.
You didn't.
Yeah, she's she's very, very docile. So as soon as she was like, uh-oh, mom's using the big mean voice.
Oh my goodness.
Truly, here's my big mean voice, Buttercup. Like right. She's like, okay, here you go. I'm sorry.
Oh, poor little thing. Oh my gosh.
No, I cried when it broke because it had made such a bigger difference than I expected it to, just in terms of, it sounds cheesy, just in terms of quality of life. So,
yeah,
yep, glad Mike's
coming
back.
I'm so glad because I had not had like an update in a while on how they were looking out after just the initial kind of getting
used
to it.
Yeah, it did take some time to get used to, but then I was like, I'm so glad I have these. So.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Well, do you have any more stories to run through our game show?
I want to just run the money one. I talked about the money. Okay. That to me, the money manifesting, like that was the only thing where I have been like, I wonder if being totally grateful for, you know, and I don't know, like if that has something to do with being open. So like I said, I was very grateful about having more money coming in from working and, you know, being open to more money. by, I wasn't being open to more money, but I was very, very grateful. And like every day, like I could literally feel my spirits lift every time I thought. And I was like, wow, what a great thing. I'm going to, you know, be contributing a little bit more. It's going to be working out this season. And then I got this, like the one recent, I mean, there've been a lot, but one recent unexpected expense was these tickets that we had to sell that basically, like, we sell some to a few family members and stuff, but for the most part,
pay for the rest.
We got to pay for the rest of them. It's mandatory. And so every year we end up writing a check, and it's a decent sized check. So that was, it just seemed a huge blessing to me that this came in, this check came in that was almost exactly the amount that we were going to write in a check to, you know, for the kids' fundraising stuff. So, and then I got, if you didn't listen to the last episode, we got like the next week, I got like three in the same batch of mail, three refund checks from overpayment. One was a check that I had accidentally written the wrong amount in when I deposited it. And it was like $8 difference. So they were refunding me $8 that I hadn't accounted for on my deposit. The second one was, like some utility refund of like 15 cents or something, this very small amount, penny. And then the third one was like, I don't know, maybe 20 something, or I don't know. It was something medium, but not a huge amount, but it felt like a windfall of blessing because it was just like piling on
one
what
after
I already
another,
perceived
after another
as blessing. So I just don't know. Now, if that really is the case, then technically you could just get richer and richer and richer by getting more and more money coming in. And I don't know that that's how it works. So,
right. No, I'm excited to dive into this one.
Yeah. What do you think?
I'm going to go from skeptical up to spiritual. So let's start with coincidence, because you had mentioned it's the end of the year.
It's end of the year.
Time when utilities are doing their reconciliations and things like that. I'm going to call a chunk of it that. I'm going to call a chunk of it the yellow car phenomenon, because
you're looking for it.
In mind, especially this idea. So let's take the fact that the first check you got was almost exactly what you had to write for hockey. I'm not going to over-spiritualize that a ton. I'm going to wear my skeptic hat for just a minute and say, yeah, it's a coincidence. Regardless, you would have had to write the check for this amount. The check you got back would have been for the, you know, similar amount. But because, and here's me portraying onto you, I don't know exactly how it happened, but I'm picturing you writing a check for hockey, being like, God, please provide the funds that we need for this. You know our need. You know that things are really tight right now. Please provide something for this check we need to write. Because you had that in mind, I think you were more open to looking for ways that God would provide. And then he did. So those are my two skeptical answers. But I'm also like, if I had to assign like percentages, I'd say 25% coincidence and yellow car phenomenon. But the rest, I do think there's spiritual stuff that happens. I think that when you are grateful for blessings, I think some of it is direct. I think God directly blesses people who are generous. I don't think that's a reason to be generous so that God will bless you. But I think
that
gratitude
is a huge pitfall, because the whole check in the mail concept is big
in the prosperity gospel
of, if I wrote a tithe check for $100 and I got $500 in the mail, it's that kind of thing. Because I'm getting extra money.
Yeah.
That's
so
not
we
what
don't
we're aiming for.
We don't give thanks and we don't give charitably in order to get more.
Right.
But I do think that being generous, and I think that gratitude and generosity do go hand in hand. I think there is stuff happening in the spiritual realm that allows more blessing. And I think that that's pretty biblical. You know, the test me in this and bring your tithes in and see if I don't open up those floodgates. And I think that's kind of what God did. Like I said, I think there is some just kind of natural common sense stuff that happened, and coincidence, like you said, it being the end of the year. But I think a lot of it was, I think that gratitude primes the pump for a lot of things. I think about financial provision and sometimes blessings in general. I think about them like a stream of water. And if something closes that up, then money's not coming in or going out. So that might be like excessive financial worry can do it. I think greed will do it.
Self-sabotage.
Yes. Yeah. Let's add that to it, because I think that falls under being open to receiving more. If you were the kind of Christian who thought that praying for financial provision was horribly sinful, then you wouldn't have seen these gifts as gifts from God. You almost might have been, get behind me, Satan. He's trying to tempt me with worldly wealth. Right. You know? And so it wouldn't have, you wouldn't have responded with that gratitude, which I do think opens the door for even more to come in. So that's how I picture that one.
That's good. I like that analysis. That's really good.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. I'm going to see if I've got one more. Okay. I'll give one more. This one's been kind of fun. So this is our first year where our youngest son is going to the public school full time. And he is just thriving there. He loves it. And I remember every so often walking into the school for various reasons. And there's this one area, it's kind of like the lobby. And I'd be like, this is a nice lobby. Like, it's nice and open and bright lighting. I'd be like, it's too bad they don't just make like a public coffee shop here. Because we have no coffee shops here. Sometimes I would love to just take my work somewhere else and relax with it. And that's what I pictured every time I would walk into the school lobby. This would make such a nice coffee shop. It's too bad it's close to the public. Okay. So now, because of different sports schedules, because he's involved in like every sport that he can be involved in, sometimes I'm dropping him off for practice and then I just need to kill, 90 minutes or something. So instead of coming all the way home and going all the way back out, sometimes I bring my computer and sometimes I sit in that nice lobby and sometimes I like, so I get exactly what I pictured, right? I get, other than, the latte, I get to like sit, I get a place where I can take my work away from home. I get the nice kind of atmosphere. So did I just manifest that school lobby or what happened there?
I would say that I'd say it's a combination of things, but some of it could be that, what was the one we were going to add, like self-fulfilling prophecy?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Because you already were like, this would be a great place to work. And so when the opportunity presented itself, now your kid goes to the school that you automatically think, oh, I'm going to work there. I thought you were going to say that they put a coffee shop in.
Oh, that'd be so nice.
What if you put a coffee shop in and then...
Well, I know we do have like a school store in the morning because once every other week he needs to go early because he's working in the school store. So maybe they already do and I just haven't discovered it yet.
They might. But anyway, but yeah, like I think that one I could see is like a self-fulfilling prophecy of, but I also see it as kind of... So one term that I hear people use a lot is God winks, like a God wink, like God, God's like, hey, I heard that. I heard you say, I heard you think that.
I think it's some of both. I would actually probably diagnose it exactly the same.
And a God wink, I think some people would call that manifesting, but.
And some people would call it coincidence.
Right. That could be.
And so to me, I would put it, the language I would use is going back to God putting a prompt in your heart. I think it was God being like, again, a tiny bit humorously, hey, Alana, don't you think this would be a nice place to come and bring your computer and get some work done? Nudge.
Right. Well, and that brings me to I have to address this probably pretty quickly in the interest of time, but we'll maybe do a whole episode on it. But I know this, the whole idea of time and what some of the meanderings of my mind as I was thinking about manifesting was how much of manifesting, what if manifesting is really just uncovering? Because we know that God is outside of time. We know that he's, basically, whether you believe in a fixed block universe of time where everything has already happened and we are just simply, we've already made all the decisions and we're just experiencing it in sequential order, or whether you believe that there's open-ended time, God knows the beginning from the end, however you think of mm-hmm. it. So some of my questioning is, what if, you know, and that goes for prayer, manifesting slash prayer is in many cases uncovering, kind of like that, where God is mm-hmm. drawing you. Why couldn't it be both? And still allow our free will and our influence in it to be intact. I feel like God is big enough to hold those things together. And somehow, and this is all theoretical, and I'm not saying I believe this, but right. What if some of our prayers and our perceived manifestations or whatever is just an uncovering of what God has and wants mm-hmm. us to mm-hmm. become part of. But that does, you know, then you get into, okay, if everything is predestined, which I'm not saying that I believe that, if everything right. is predestined and in a big chunk of block time universe, whatever, space time, then you don't have choices. I'm not saying that either, but I believe in a degree of uncovering, because God obviously knows what is. And I do believe mm-hmm. there are times when he draws us forward through the desires of our hearts, through the things that he places as prayer burdens on our hearts mm-hmm. to invite us into the process of him yeah. unfolding his will.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think the way I would put it would be, again, God knew that this was going to be a blessing he was going to drop into my lap. And so he kind of prepared me ahead of time. And here's also, like, if I hadn't had those moments of, I would love to work here in this room, I would have been like, wait, you need me to drop you off at the school at 5:30 at night. I need to find something to do until you're ready to go home at 7 at night. And we got to do this in the winter when it's totally dark out. That's miserable. So I think some of it was God even like shifting to prepare me to be like, isn't this going to be cool? You know,
that's so. Pretty good. That's pretty sneaky of God. I mean, don't we do that with our kids sometimes? Like, we set them up for stuff that we know is going to happen. I can't think of an example, but I know I've done that where I'm like, oh, won't this be nice that you'll be able to mm-hmm. X, Y, or Z?
I right? did that
trying,
to
trying
our,
to hype yeah. them up. What did you have an example?
I
of
did
it?
That to our son when we went to New York earlier in 23. Yeah. There was one more musical that I decided last minute he and I were going to go do as a surprise.
Oh, that's right.
And so there were a couple times during the trip, I'm like, man, now that we're here, I kind of wish we had gotten tickets to this. And he'd be like, yeah, me too. But in my mind, I knew, like, I've already got the tickets.
Right.
So, yeah, I think that I wouldn't call it sneaky. Something about that doesn't sound quite right. But
no, it doesn't. That
beauty of surprising your child mm-hmm. with a blessing. I totally think that's how God can operate sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, so... Anyway, I hope that everybody enjoyed our little game show. Any parting thoughts from you, Jamie?
No.
Or any really. Stories we didn't get to that you really wanted to digest?
No. What about you? Did you have any left over that you wanted to talk about?
I still had some, but I think they all kind of fall under the same. I think we have examples of each of these
yeah.
categories. I would say a takeaway is that even if some of our answered prayers truly are, at least in part, coincidence or that self-fulfilling prophecy, or the fact that I'm praying for something makes me more open to receive it with a very logical, natural consequences, I don't think that that takes away God's hand in it at all.
No,
you know, it's kind of like we pray for our daily bread, and for many of our listeners, I'm going to assume that you having food to eat today is not a miraculous provision from God. Like, it just, it happens because you live in a place where food is available. And, you know, so to me, that doesn't make it less God's provision. Just like in these cases, just like, let's go back to the very first example, me wishing for snow and it's snowing. Maybe my body was just like, yep, feels like snow. Maybe that's 100% what it was. It's still God who provided that snow. Additionally, it's God who provided me with a body that can sense changes in the weather. So I don't see it as incompatible with divine providence at all. I think it just adds a fun layer to it.
Yeah, I like it.
All righty. Well, we hope you all have a wonderful day and that the deepest desires of your heart are answered in fun and miraculous ways. And we will talk to you next time. Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Praying Christian Women podcast. We'd love to hear from you, so please leave us a comment to let us know what questions or topics we can address in future shows. Then hop over to prayingchristianwomen.com/journal to download your free prayer guide. We're so glad you joined us for today's show, and we wish you God's deepest blessings as you draw closer to Him and change the world one prayer at a time.